Let's continue with Apostle Paul's admonishment. Verse 4. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting. Jesting, you know, Christians, they jest. When these comedians come, Christians will be taking scriptures and be joking with the holy things. He said, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger. A whoremonger is a man or a woman that sleeps about with men or women they have not married. No unclean person, and uncleanness includes homosexuals and lesbians. Every homosexual is possessed with an unclean spirit. You don't know where to go and chop. Now inside toilet, where shit today, you go chop. It's uncleanness. Any homosexual here, God sees you like he sees shit. Any lesbian here, you have a psychiatric case. The devil has tried to glamorize it using social media and all this. They glamorize it. This is how God made him. This is how God made him. This is how God made him. This is his nature. When God created Eve, did he create Evelyn to follow her? Or Adam? Was it not Adam? After he created Adam, did he give Adam Michael to be his partner? This is how he made me. It's not how he made you. Satan wants to finish you eternally. You have a condition that needs spiritual attention. Come to Jesus. Make no delay. And he will remove that nonsense from you. No covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words. Listen now. For because of these things coming the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience, hellfire is created for unclean person, for homosexual, for lesbian, for fornicators, for adulterous persons. That is the reason God created the lake of fire. That's the reason he created hell. That's the reason one of these days the whole earth will burn with fire to cleanse it so that this earth can be clean again. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Think again of verse 10. Verse 9 and verse 10. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving, hallelujah, that is demonstrating what is acceptable unto the Lord. So we have something to guide us. This thing I am doing, will it with God accept what I am doing? The way I am behaving, will God accept it? The way I'm relating with so-so person, will God accept it? That is what the fruit of the Spirit leads you to. Verse 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he said, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. And today's communion is to awake them that are sleepy. Awake you from the dead. When you claim to be a Christian and you are living like the people of the world, you are walking in darkness and you are spiritually dead. And you don't know it. Today's communion is a waking communion. Because a lot of people take things for granted. And you don't know you are being separated from God without even knowing it. Verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools like the foolish virgins, but as wise as the wise virgins. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The cup that you are holding signifies as a point of contact to you holding it. As the blood of Jesus Christ will be poured inside that cup, it is life that is being poured into that cup. Hallelujah. And somebody here, Matthew chapter 5 verse 6, can we read it? He said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are they, verse 6, blessed are they, that's my emphasis, which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And you can only thirst for something you desire, something your body is yearning for. You get thirsty for water because you know if you don't drink water, you can die. And so also, the Lord Jesus Christ is letting us know that it's the same way when you thirst for righteousness. When you thirst for righteousness, it's because you have known the importance of living a life of righteousness. For it is written, if a man's way pleases the Lord, he maketh him to be at peace even with his enemies. The truth is this, and we have examples in the Bible. As long as Solomon lived a life pleasing before God, 40 years of his reign, there was no single war. But David, his father, battle today, battle tomorrow, battle today, battle tomorrow. Why will you have peace when you live such a lustful and covetous life that you even go and kill somebody to collect his wife? Which peace will you have? David. And Solomon did not learn from David. Then he too began to go into also all manner of vanities and cross the borderline of his relationship with God and began to go and marry the same women that God told him never to yoke with, for this would be the result. And he began to go and worship their idols. From that time, what happened to Solomon? How did he end? When we read this and we see the benefit of living a life pleasing before God, the benefit is so much. So much. So much. See, a life pleasing before God is not a life of everyday prayer. There are prayer warriors that are far from God. Oh, am I speaking to somebody? Righteousness is not determined by the number of hours that you pray. righteousness is your ability to live a life pleasing before God. And prayer is not part of it. Fasting is not part of it. Prayer is to subject you to an estate that will cause you to live a life that is pleasing before God. Fasting is to put this body under so that you'll be able to walk a life that is living pleasing before God. There are prayer warriors that are witches. I want to say something and wake you from the dead. Wake up! Tap your neighbor with that cup. Use your cup. Touch somebody. Wake up, brother. Wake up, sister. Wake up unto righteousness. Wake up. Blessed are they that thirst after righteousness. They hunger and thirst. They hunger, that is, you desire it and you thirst after righteousness. All every day from morning to night is, Lord, I hope I've not done anything contrary. I want to live a life pleasing. So those people, when they open Bible to read, they are not looking for battle scriptures. Hey, am I talking to somebody? You open Bible, you are looking for no weapon fashioned against the enemy. Anybody that dig a pit, he will fall inside. Judge my cause, oh Lord, judge them, judge them, judge them. Such people don't look for such scripture because they don't need that scripture. Because they know, if only my life can be pleasing before God. Only my life can be pleasing before God. He said he giveth his beloved sweet sleep. Why are you not able to sleep in the night? Every night, Holy Ghost fire. The whole neighbor, Holy Ghost fire. Lie. The night is given to me to rest and sleep. If my life is pleasing before God, hey, as I lie down to sleep, angels of God will encamp around about me. Oh! Glory be to God! You won't pray for long before God will answer. You won't pray for long. You are praying for so long, He never answers you. Are you connected to Him? By the life that you live. To forgive, Christians find it very difficult to forgive. And they know how to coin it and justify the reason why they are hitting back at someone. And you've forgotten the one you are doing to God every time. And you have forgotten that if you don't forgive that one, he ought to, he will not forgive you your own. And if he does not forgive your own, the Bible says it means before God you are a sinner, and he does not answer prayer of sinner. So here you are doing fasting and praying for nothing. In vain, in vain. Now I'm closing. So how do we quench that thirst? Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Lift up that empty cup. Come and quench the thirsty of my soul. First, how do we quench that thirst? The first place we see is John chapter 4. If I read it from verse 10, listen to that discussion. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus, we know the story from verse 1. By the time we get to verse 10, that is the discussion between Christ and the woman at the well. And Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knowest the gift of God, and who it is that said to thee, give me to drink, Thou will have asked of him, and he will give thee living water. The woman said unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, the water in Jacob's well. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never, never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Who is he that will not want that type of water? That if I drink, listen very well, oh, that if I drink from this water, it will spring to eternal life. Give me that water. Chop, chop, chop. Now, but Jesus, instead of saying, take it, he began to expose her sin. You cannot be in this condition and be able to drink this water. See what he said. Instead of giving her the water, he said, Jesus said unto her, go, call thy husband. And come hither. Okay now. Because he knew he was dealing with an adulteress. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five. Only you, five. Five husbands. And even this one, whom thou now hast, is not thy husband. So in that sayest thou truly, you have spoken correct, correct. The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. So part of the identification of a true prophet is that before he will give you solution, he will tell you your sin. Anybody that God will visit and give you eternal life and bless you and give you anything, before he will release it to you, he will first expose you to know your estate, so that you can have a relationship with him, because God is interested in relationship. For any blessing of God to abide, that person must have a relationship with God. That is why anyone that truly meets with God, the first thing God causes you to see is your wretchedness. So that you come in a heart that will produce a relationship with him. So that it's not, you will not just come today. When you receive it, you will go. You will not come back again. No. A lasting relationship, you will do it in a way that when you see it, you will see reason to begin to follow him and seek a relationship. And so in John chapter 6, when the second day after the day that he turned few loaves of bread and fed the 5,000 people, and they came again the next day seeking for him, and he told them, you are not seeking me because of the miracle you saw. You are seeking me because you ate of that bread yesterday. You remember me only when you are hungry, and not to use that miracle to establish a relationship between us. Praise God. So, how do I produce this fruit of the Spirit that will spring up? It will spring up out of me. It's in the Bible. When you plant a flower, a tree, whatever it is you plant, amen. If you want to eat from the fruit of that tree, what do you put on that water daily? What do you put? It's water now. If you plant something and you don't water it every day, put manure, you must take care of that tree so that when it is time to bear that fruit, you will harvest some fruit in it. And this is my understanding of 2 Peter chapter 1. Where he said, concerning your faith, he said, add to your faith. From verse 5. Add to your faith. Let's read it. Virtue. And beside this, give all diligence. Add to your faith virtue. And add to your virtue what? Knowledge. I've explained all this before, but because of time, let me just rush it. And to knowledge that you have, add what? To it, temperance. And to that temperance, add patience. And to patience, add godliness. And to godliness, add brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, what should you do? Add charity. Verse 8. He said, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall never be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, what he's saying is that for you to be fruitful, and what is that fruitfulness? The fruitfulness is the fruit of the Spirit we see in Galatians chapter 5 from verse 22. If you are going to be able to produce this fruit, this your Christian faith that you have now, add virtue to it. That is the fertilizer that will enable you grow so that in due season you will produce the fruit. Add knowledge, add temperance, add patience, add godliness, brotherly kindness, add charity. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Then, at the time of fruit, every fruit will manifest. Love will manifest. And all the rest. Peace, joy, long suffering, whatever it is, patience, all, they will manifest. For that is the stature of perfection. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, he says, if you know who it is that is speaking, telling you, give me this water, he said, you will have asked him to give you the living water. And that living water, on the cross on Calvary, when his side was pierced, what and what he came out? Water and blood. To tell us that through the blood of Jesus Christ, we receive abundant life. Life flowed there. As we come now, he gave bread to eat. He said, this is my body that is offered to you. Eat it in remembrance of me. Then he took the cup and blessed it. He said, take, drink it, all of it. That is the blood of the New Testament. But inside his blood, there is a power there. There's a life there that when you receive, it springs up unto life everlasting, life eternal. And so that is our prayer today. That God, fill my cup. It is not the cup you are holding. It's only a point of contact to the cup of you. Cup of me. Come and quench the thirst of my soul. The thirst to live a life that's pleasing before God. I'm looking forward to God using the communion for today and cause somebody to testify like this sister testified, that my life changed after I met with the Lord through your ministry. Like somebody here sitting down here today too, that you begin to now have a restored relationship with God that will stop you from jumping from minister to minister, pastor to prophet to evangelist. That because of the relationship you have with him, you will sleep and he will send his angel and they will take you to your village without prayers and you will wake up delivered. Is it possible? Oh, you didn't answer me well. You don't believe it? Eh? He called us the apple of his eyes. Do you know what it means to be God's apple? Apple of his eyes?
You touch me, you are touching his eye. He will not let anything choke his eye. He said, I am engraved in the palm of his hands. I am part of him. He feels my pains. If I'm crying, he's feeling it. He said, we have a high priest that can be touched by the feelings of our infirmities. When the enemy attack me, he's attacking Jesus. He will not let me be persecuted like that for nothing. He won't sit there and watch it. People don't know it. Have you never seen an angel wake you up in the night to pray? Would you want to be so close to God until when the enemy is coming, he will tap you, say, chase that nonsense out and continue your sleep? He said, you would hold any deadly thing, it will not hurt you. Would you want that type of assurance? He said, wherever your source of your feet will touch, you will possess it. Instead of possessing it, they are pointing poison in you. You match it, you are finished. Meanwhile, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Oh, glory be to God. Somebody today, you are going to receive a restoration of relationship with God. You don't know who you are. You don't know who you are. Because you have been wrongly brought up. I want to bring you up and rearrange your spiritual life. Hallelujah. When you do that, amen, you will have a trouble-free Christian life. Somebody say, Pastor, you don't behave. You don't know the number of people praying for you. Why will God raise people to pray for me? It's because I have a relationship with him. I know God has spoken to me. Hallelujah. He spoke to me that he has raised up voices that will never rest to keep me going. There are people sitting down here that are even here. There are people watching me online. They have some days set aside for fasting and praying for me. Do you think I want to lose that? I won't want to lose it. I want to stay close to him. Hold and cherish that old rugged cross. Walk and try my best. If you see me do anything, it's a mistake. Just point it to me, I will repent immediately. I know that is where my hope is. If he turns his back against me for 1 second, Satan will finish me. Break the edge. Satan will strike. Why? Because he is at the border waiting for you. Waiting. Every day he's looking around. He will push whether you feel calm. And some of you, you are borderline Christian. Instead of you to go far into Christ, you will see the hang. Small time you go do like this into the world. Do the rock come back again. Holy Ghost fire. Holy Ghost fire. Holy Ghost fire. Holy Ghost fire. Your heart is in the world, but your leg must be here. So small time you're gonna do Janine Jaka, Janine Jaka, Biko Bika, Biko. Yeah. The rock come every time. Every time, every time. That's the kind of life you want to live. He's right there, he's waiting for you to just give him where he will strike you. And before you recover, you go cry tired. Today, somebody here, there will be restoration. Life will be restored.